So many times I've tried to be the Christian I should be. But when I try, it just seems that I don't have the power in me. And when I trust the Savior to live his life in me, his Spirit gives the life that he lives and makes it appear in me. And when I trust the Savior, I trust him patiently. And from above his amazing love will flow from his heart through me. And when I trust the Savior to live his life in me, his Spirit gives the life that he lives and makes it appear in me. Each day I'll trust the Savior. I trust him patiently. And from above, his amazing love will flow from his heart through me. Will flow from his heart through me.
Communion Sabbath, we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus. This God's act of giving his Son reveals to us the depths of the infinite love. But what is the meaning of the cross and the resurrection for us today? How can we apply this experience in a practical way? John says in his first epistle, 3:16, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." And I added, the sisters. John implies that we, who have been redeemed by the Savior's sacrifice, have a moral obligation to follow his example, even to the point of laying down our lives. He encourages us to cultivate the kind of love that considers the supreme sacrifice for our brothers and sisters. Jesus had gone even further. Those he died for were not his brothers and sisters, but enemies. Knowing of human frailties, John turns from dying for our brothers and sisters to the lesser sacrifices that are more frequently demanded of us by the needs of our fellow believers. And he says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? He equates the selfish indifference to the needs of others to the lack of love and absence of Christ. And he encourages us to avoid hypocritical attitude and to practice true love. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. There is nothing wrong about loving in words or with words. Love expressed with well-chosen, eloquent words can be admirable and commendable. But what John is trying to say, he's discouraging us from having love that is only expressed in words, is limited to words when helpful deeds are needed. He encourages us not to act only from the sense of duty or seeking praise, but out of genuine affection for others. There on the cross, we have been redeemed by the grace of God, manifested in loving sacrificial act of His Son, Jesus Christ. His compassion bridged the gap between us and God that was created by our sins. And in spite of the demands of the law, that the sinners had to be punished and executed, we have been reconciled with God, not because we were able to develop a good character or we were able to create a perfect church, a perfect society. What we were not able or capable of doing ourselves, Jesus had done for us on the cross. And Paul says in Romans 8:1, there is no now condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he encourages us to participate in this activity of grace, exercising God's love in tangible ways as we serve one another following His ways, as He served us. There is a story about a church that developed a unique ministry. Their members go around the city and they find the expired parking meters with cars in their lots, in the parking lots, and they plug these parking meters with coins, helping the people in the community to deal with the demands of the law. They're sharing grace. Quite a unique approach. Last week, I was working on the project and in the hardware store as I was ready to pay for my stuff. The person behind me says, "Oh, wait, he's with me. Put it on my bill." I looked behind me. I couldn't believe that he's talking about me. I said, "You mean I'm with you?" A simple act of kindness sharing love. I found this story. Someone found a note on their truck's windshield. "You do not know me, but I saw that you needed some tires for your truck. And I wanted to do something nice for a stranger because one day a stranger did the same for me. The receipt is in the envelope, and all you have to do is go by the warehouse tire on 3rd Street and ask for Stephen Hodges, and they will be put them on for free. All I ask is that one day you do something nice for a complete stranger." We do things here. Just a few minutes ago, we had an opportunity to participate in the School Tuition Fund. We're sharing the grace. We're sharing the love that we have received with those who are in need, helping young people to receive quality Christian education. We do not only celebrate the cross that gives us the gift of eternal life. As John encourages us, we are to participate in this activity ourselves. And it should be taking place now. We share the love of God we have received. And by doing so, we are experiencing the true reality of love ourselves. Today, we remember Jesus, who lived and died, rested, and was raised. And because of that, we know that we live, we die, we rest, and we will be resurrected. And Paul says, death has been swallowed up in victory. The restoration of life, the achievement of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection from the dead gives us assurance, hope, and confidence in the great resurrection that will take place soon as we face the reality of death today. And John encourages us to participate in the life-giving activities. I found this story about the pastor, Presbyterian pastor in Seoul, South Korea, who was disturbed by the number of babies that were unwanted. And all they did, just put a hole in the wall of the church, on the side of the church, installed a metal box, equipped it with heater and blankets, and they put a sign, the safe deposit box, where young mothers who for some reasons could not keep the babies were able to deposit their babies in this box safely without being seen. "You can safely leave your babies here," it says there. So far, they saved 652 lives. Acts of sacrificial love and compassion. Coming close to home, some time ago, Gloria Nichols called me, asking if I would be willing to conduct a service for a little baby that was abandoned and died. right here in the desert alone in Kalamasa, there is a section that is dedicated and set aside for little babies, abundant babies. It's called the Garden of Angels. And just last week, there was another one that Gloria Nichols named by her name. The acts of sacrificial love and compassion that we as Christians are compelled to produce in our spiritual walk. We should certainly recognize those who are on the front lines every day saving our lives. The firefighters, the peace force, military personnel, teachers, who can make a difference in the young lives by giving the proper counsel. There are many creative things we can do to give life. One of these that I found on the internet, a human chair. An elderly lady in the elevator needed a rest. She couldn't stand for too long on her own. And the young man provided a human chair, portable chair for her. Quite creative. We have this act of love and compassion. When someone jeopardizing their own personal winning for sharing the living water with their friend who is not able to handle it. This is Zbigniew Religa, a Polish doctor who did the first heart transplant surgery that lasted 23 hours. Look at that nurse in the corner. She's out. 23 hours. Life-giving activities. And as the recipients of eternal life, God's expression of love, what does it mean for you and me to give life? To sustain life, to improve life. We need to remember that we are engaged in a spiritual war, and our Christian duty is saving other human beings from the certain eternal death. We have been saved and reunited with our Lord by His act of love. We have the promise of the resurrection on that glorious day in the future. But as people who are being nourished by the flesh and blood of Christ, John challenges us to fight our selfishness today that keeps us separated and destroys communities, to make a difference in the lives of our fellow human beings. Today, now. There was a survey that they conducted with a question, what words do you wish to hear the most? I know you'll probably guess it right. The number one is, I love you. Number two, I forgive you. Do you know what number three is? Supper is ready. One of the greatest human desires is the sense of belonging. To be in the community, in fellowship with one another. Many are in need of food and clothing. I remember when we did Saturday night helping hands meals, feeding the hungry in the community. There was a group of people that were coming every time, but not all of them were really poor or homeless. Most of them came because they wanted to be in fellowship. They wanted to be in communion. They wanted a place where they belong. We have a beautiful dream. The ministry that this church is engaged in, led by Sandy Bradford. And I wanted to ask her to share it in person. What are we doing there in community services?
Well, at this moment, am I on? Yes. At this moment, we are doing a lot. And I know that you have heard about community service for many months. Satan has really been after my family. And first it started with a broken leg, and then it started with my husband and the cancer. But we're moving beyond because we're going to do it anyway. There are not going to be any excuses, no matter what's thrown our direction. So I'm going to give you a little mental tour, okay? Got your thinking caps on? Pretend that you are one of the people coming to community service. You will enter the fellowship hall. You will have an application and fill out the information as to your address, your name, of course, how many are in your family, and your needs. When that person is finished, at a later time, it will be put in a computer so that we can keep track. At this point, I don't know how many times, maybe every other week, we will offer them to come in for food, maybe every week. It depends on the circumstances. But while the person is sitting there waiting for food or clothing, because you have these wonderful screens in the fellowship hall, we will be putting on a full plate diet, something to do with nutrition, possibly some sermons as we're directed by the Holy Spirit, because this whole operation is directed by the Holy Spirit, not by me. And then I'm hoping that my husband can bless us with just being in the room, answering questions, visiting, talking to people, and we'll probably need two or three people, I'm hoping, but that's my vision, where we make friends. We just don't give a need, we make friends, and it continues. At that time, now, I want your mind to go over to community service, and by the way, after potluck, those of you who stay, we'd be glad to give you a tour. We have 90 feet ability for hanging clothes, and it's almost full. The cabinets are getting pretty full. Everything has been sized and sorted. And in that room, we have place for food. The food will come, maybe some from you, as you'd like to donate. But for 19 cents a pound, Feeding America will allow us to get as much food as we want. And think of every $100 donated represents 500 pounds of food. Produce, 4 cents a pound. Can't beat that, can you? We have to have our own board, and our board has already been put together. We will meet this week, and they don't know that yet, but we will. They've all been chosen. I'm so thrilled to have Doug Rafferty on our board and looking maybe for him to be the chairman. And the rest of us are women, and so we needed a big, tall man to balance us out. And for clothing, it was asked of me, well, will people just come in and take armfuls? No. They will have a sheet that they will say what they are in need of. Size 16 pants, size 4 pants, whatever it might be. And we have everything sorted by size, so we will go shopping with them. We will also be getting acquainted. Then the food will be distributed out of the kitchen by the bags, by how many people are in the family. It will take probably at least 12 of us. The community service that I worked in for just a little while in Yuma, we had 23, 24 people there at a time. But we will be doing 2 days, Monday getting ready, and Tuesday serving. I want to just tell you one tiny little thing before I give the mic back. He said I had 2 minutes, but, you know, I'm a woman. And remember the story I told you about Brooke and the lady, she was 27 years old, who I took to dialysis. Two of our church members came to me and asked the question, how long do you plan to do this? And all I could think was, as long as I'm needed. And then the reply came back, but you know that the transit system will pick her up and take her to dialysis. And my reply was, yes, but the bus driver won't talk to her about Jesus, and I will.
Thank you, Sandy. Many people want to hear the supper is ready, but even more can benefit from I love you and you've been forgiven. Today we are concerned about many things, locally and globally. The shootings, the ISIS killing Christians, the economy collapse, our retirement investment plummeting, the war in different places of the world. All of it is the evidence of selfishness, the selfish reality. We rejected God. We want to do it on our own. We want to do our own thing. And more than ever today, as people of God, we should be in business of reconciliation as we follow in the way of Jesus. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us power and inspiration to participate in God's act of love, seeking daily for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Contributing to member care and community services is just one simple thing that we can do. But as we participate in the service of love and humility, as we partake the bread and wine, the symbols of what God has done for us, I would like to encourage you to spend time thinking. What opportunities and what ways you can use to share the blessings that we are so fortunate and privileged to have received from God. Make a promise. Make your commitment today to the Lord to look for the ways to pass along the grace and kindness to those who need it the most. That includes our families, our spouses, members of the church, and members of the community. Receiving the grace of Christ compels us to give the grace of Jesus. And that's how we experience the reality of His love. The rooms are prepared for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the example that You're giving us in Your Son, Jesus Christ. As we remember what He has done for us, Lord, help us to follow His example and look for the ways how we can minister to people around us. Help us not only to receive Your blessings, but also to give them and share with others around us, especially those who are in need. As we humble ourselves before You and one another, we pray for Your presence among us, in our hearts, in our lives, and help us to follow You wherever You lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.